Terry R. Wickham, writer, producer, director of Gruesome Threesome, and you're listening to the Movie Raid Show.
It's time for the Movie Raid. Tonight's victim is director Terry Reed Wickham, that has done films such as Devil's Fly, Double Vision, The Gruesome Threesome, amongst many others. Hello.
Hey, how you doing there, Mike?
Gruesome Threesome with this one. This one has been circulating a little bit and is ready to hit the public pretty soon, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's going to come out on VOD and digital HD on October 2nd. It's a Friday.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with this. Is this an anthology or is it a straight-up horror piece together with something a little bit different?
Well, it's actually both. It's a film that took three of my older films that have been out of circulation in the public for many years. The Downfall of Johnny Garrett and Stalk were part of a feature film originally called Evil Street, which we put out back in the late 90s on VHS. That's sold out and has not been available to the public in over two decades. And the film Hair of the Dog, which is part of this anthology horror film, was never really released to the public. That came out in 2003, so you're talking like 17 years ago. And the wraparound for the movie, which holds all those films together, we filmed that 3 years ago in 2017. I just released it now because I was so busy on another feature film I made called Double Vision. That took priority, and now I'm addressing this film. And I'm actually releasing it first time ever, my company, Mantaray Pictures, on Vimeo, HD, Visual HD, and VOD. What's different about this anthology compared to most is that they're all made by the same director, which is me. So you don't have a bunch of guys screened together that made different short films that have nowhere to go. These were the same director making films over a period of time. I think you kind of see it. Hopefully the production values of each one. They're not all the same film, so they each give you something different as a horror fan. One of them is more supernatural. The other one's more of a slasher film, thriller, murder mystery, Hair of the Dog. And then that's all wrapped up with the one that kind of involves all. I think they're funny at times, but they're definitely taken seriously, all of them.
A little bit of the old school with the new school type of feel to it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It's really weird because obviously, you know, just from what I just described, they weren't made to be together originally. But the fact that they're ended up being together with similar thematic aspects story-wise is cool, and that's maybe one of the reasons why my friend James Balsamo, when I was showing these films to him about 4 years ago, he suggested I put them together with a new wraparound because he thought they'd be something that could actually gel cohesively. So as far as the look of the films, you know, you hear about this, a lot of people liking films that looked older. Well, fact are, these movies are older, at least three of them are. So they were shot in formats that are no longer used. The Downfall of Johnny Garrett and Stock were both shot on SVHS and edited on 3/4-inch tape. So they were never HD, not like a red camera, nothing like that. They were made at the time with the money that I had at that time to make those films. And then Hair of the Dog was made on mini DV, because that's what we were using back in 03. And then the wraparound, that was shot in 4K. So you've got a look for each film that legitimizes what that production level was when we made them. So we didn't change them with software program to make them look older. They're just older, and that's the way they look. James was saying to me when he watched them, that look is really appreciated in today's world for an audience because they get tired of seeing super slick, perfect, no grain movies that you see coming out of Hollywood. He says a lot of people that have that desire to see the older looking film. That's what we're giving everybody. But, you know, when you see Gruesome Threesome, you also see the 4K footage too. So we kind of give you a little bit of each.
I don't know about you and the other people listening, but I personally, when I watch a movie that's, say, lower budget, that's good. It's more impressive than the $20, $30, $40, $50 million film where they had all these money to throw at the screen. When I find a movie that they didn't have a lot of money and it still ends up being good, whether it be like an Evil Dead or, you know, John Carpenter's Halloween, when you see those type of movies, such as Sandshaw, Night of the Living Dead, that's even more impressive to me because that means these guys had the talent and the crew and the people that worked with them to make something special even if they didn't have the money, right?
Oh, exactly. And would you say this is better for self-individuality than anything else, even today's era, despite what we all have? Do you think that is really the most key when it comes to going back to look at these types of films, how they were filmed? That's where it really happens. And if you were to film now, you think that needs to be the most key element before we start anything?
I think the most important thing when you make a movie is obviously it's a story. And then to go with that story, you need a director that has a vision. And I think that's something that the industry is really lacking right now. There's not a lot of guys with vision. I think that a lot of people are controlled by the executives that run studios. So you can see they must take all sorts of meetings and get notes. You need to do this, you need to do that. I like it where there's somebody that has a true vision, they have something that they want to say, and they make the movie without that interference. I think if you start involving accountants and business
people and lawyers. They're coming here to make the movie. That's where you're going to screw up stuff. You need to have someone that got something to say visually with the story, and then let them control that. You know, whether it be Jim Cameron making The Terminator or George Romero making Land of the Dead, Texas Chainsaw. These guys had something to say. They used whatever they had at their disposal as far as equipment, whether it was shooting on 16mm, or today, you know, most people don't use film because it's so expensive. But you know, whatever it is you have, you should just take that and make it work for your story. But don't let the money men run you. Because once you do that, your movie's going to end up being, I think, less than what people want to see.
Do you think that there should be a balance or of reflectiveness toward the artists and the audience on the vision itself? Or do you think it should be even, at least?
I would hope that the audience gets sick of seeing the same sequels and remakes and reboots. All that stuff to me is garbage. How many times have we seen a remake or reboot or sequel that's better than the first film? I would say you could count it on one hand. But it'd be Aliens being, in my opinion, a better film than the first movie, and that's not insulting Alien. The Alien was great, but what Jim Cameron did was more than what Ridley Scott did in the first film. I know they weren't trying to make the same films, but that was one of the rare situations where the next director did better. But if you look at the films today, it doesn't happen. Whether it be a remake of Halloween, a remake of Elm Street, a remake of Friday 13th, none of those films equipped the first film. I think that, I hope the audience gets sick of that, and hopefully that sick relates into making less money for those movies. But then maybe the studios will say, you know what, that's not working anymore, let's start making original films. That's the best thing that the audience could do for the industry and for the filmmakers, because then we can start making new movies. But before that, independent filmmakers need to take charge and make new original vision films. That's what the audience, I think, needs and what we're really missing today in the industry. I don't know about you, but visual effects, computer effects, they all look the same. I mean, these companies that make this stuff, they kind of crank it out. They make a lot of money doing it. They don't change the way they do these visual effects. If something works, why fix it, right? Well, for them, it works because they're making money. Now, from an audience point of view, I think it doesn't work because they all look the same. The only times you can see The Rock run from something exploding, the next movie, something's exploding, he's running, and he's jumping. Look, Robert Rodriguez did that in Desperado, so that's 25 years ago, or even Tarantino film. That's so gone. You know, he was doing kind of shots like that, which is great, but then all the Hollywood start copying that. So I just think you need new ideas, people with strong visions, let them make the movies. I don't think that's going to be easy to do. If the audience demands it, they stop paying money for all this recycled garbage, which I kind of look as, like, right now, Hollywood's giving us McDonald's all the time. But if you think about it, McDonald's is not really healthy for us. It's not going to prolong our lives healthy-wise. We need a little more substance. So if we stop buying McDonald's in the movie theater, i.e. Hollywood, then maybe they start giving us some more serious films, visionary directors. And I guess to go along with that, the visionary directors need to come out of the intense scene, which hopefully are like guys like me and some other directors I know as well.
Now, making independent films, where would you actually divide perspective view versus personal opinion on that view?
I think on a Hollywood level, they're not letting the director make that decision. They're kind of telling them, meaning filmmaker, you need to make the movie like this, because this is what we think the audience is going to like based on polls and things like that, like research that they've done. You can't tailor movies like that. I think instead, the director needs to come with the idea, with the story, or the writer that works with the director, and say, this is what we want to make. And then the studio should say, you know, we can see that, let's do it. Instead of approaching it from the business point of view, come from the filmmaker point of view. That's where it'll work better. I think on the independent scene, it's more the director doing what they see. On the Hollywood scene, it's the executives controlling the director.
How would you experience that in the indie world when it comes to very low budget films or very, very low resources for that matter, if you have to go to a different direction, and when the audience is definitely the key player here, how do you react to that when it comes to that perspective view versus them?
Well, I'm always thinking of the audience when I write a script. And when I write a script, I actually see the movie, hear the music, I see the cuts. That's just one of the talents I have as a storyteller. I can't speak for other directors, but I know with me, I'm thinking of the audience always in advance, because I ultimately want to affect them emotionally, and whether it's to scare them, get them excited sexually, or to get them to feel suspense, whatever it may be. I'm always thinking of them, but I think in the end, you're kind of going with your gut feeling of what you think will work, and you kind of have to trust that, because I think if you doubt yourself, you can't really make a film like that. You got to have the guts and determination and believe in it. Now, look, you may not get there right away, first draft, second draft, third draft, but as you go through the script and later you shoot the film, and after that you put together an editing, you're always kind of rewriting this film, because it's kind of made three times. When you write it,
when you shoot it and then when you edit it. I think ultimately you have to do what you think is right. That's going to have the biggest impact for the audience. But as far as myself, I'm always putting that as the prime ultimate viewer is them. But I have to make those decisions from my gut feeling, because obviously you can't make the film like from their point of view. It's got to be from mine. You just hope they end up liking it. But they've always been in my head when I write the script or I start shooting the movie and later put together an edit with my editors.
And of course, it can't be repetitive either, because that's always a big problem too. But at the same time, you don't always have to be repetitive or at least go along with what the audience wants specifically, because you also have to put yourself as what this vision might be and maybe envision what they might want to see.
Yeah, and I think sometimes if you know what they're going to expect based on other films that have been out, you can change your choices to be surprising. So in other words, there's a scene in Hair of the Dog in Verse of Threesome, one of the four movies that make up the film, where a character goes after a killer and ends up going to this building. And I thought, what would most filmmakers do where the killer would come out? And I thought how many beats it would be. So what I did was I changed that cadence. So instead of being, say, the first, third, second, fifth time, I said, you know what, I'm going to do it here, because the audience is going to think it's going to be here. So I purposely changed that, knowing what I've seen other films do and what I anticipate the audience can expect. That could be like in Abandoned, which is part of Devil's Five. When I was casting an actress in that movie, she had to do a little nudity. And when I was casting actresses, I knew that was going to restrict how many actresses I could use, because not everybody wanted to do that. So when it came down to it, I got down to like top four. Four of them were Caucasian. One was from Africa. And I thought, what would most directors do? And I thought they'd cast a Caucasian actress. Pretty blonde, pretty redhead, pretty brunette. They wouldn't take the girl from Africa. So I took the girl from Africa because I knew that would be unique. But really, I took her because I thought she had the best smile. She had the most passion. And that was the most important qualities I was looking for. But I also knew she's the most different. So I was trying to combine different qualities. That's the way I look at things. I don't always go the obvious way, because then you're just going to merge and blend in with everybody else.
Now, when placing these moments of excitement, do you think it's more manageable mixing surreal with reality? Or do you think there should be some kind of balance, should be in effect without actually forcing it on there?
As far as surreal and real, I think the subject matter of the movie kind of determines how much of that would be involved in any kind of story. In the Gruesome Threesome, the first movie is supernatural after the wraparound starts. And then the second one is not supernatural, it's reality. And then the third movie, at times, almost feels supernatural, but it, you know, then you have your reality. So I just think that the subject matter and the tone of each film will kind of determine that. But as far as it's filmmaking, the way I make films, I'm trying to hit the audience always on multiple layers. So I'm trying to do it on a physical level, on a psychological level, and then a subliminal level. That's where you kind of reach that surreal level. The audience may not pick up, but I put stuff in there to get you on that level, whether it be a voice is under someone walking on the floor. You may not hear those voices, but they're actually there. It's not all the time, but there's things I do like that. Gruesome Threesome, there's a few places I put stuff, especially in Hair of the Dog. There's stuff in there you may not notice that I put subliminally to affect you when you watch it. But you may not get it or see it or notice it, but it's definitely there. I can't tell you because I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but there's a few places, not all the time, because you can't overdo the effect.
Go and plug in any websites or anything that we can check out regarding to any of these films that we could look forward in the future as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, go to wordpress.mantarepictures.com or www.mantarepictures.com. It's a WordPress site, so I think sometimes you have to put it in front of it. That's my website. Anything related to my work is there, whether it be ordering the movie on Vimeo, which you can get on Vimeo. It's just vimeo.com/gruesomethreesome. We have a Gruesome Threesome Facebook page. Find out everything about Gruesome Threesome. You can order from there as well. You can go to Devil's Five Facebook page, which I know is a different movie, but everything connected also there as well. On Twitter, I'm MantaRay16. That's my Twitter handle. And on Instagram, it's MantaPix. That's MantaPix. That's Instagram. On Twitter, it's MantaRay16. So that's kind of a abbreviation for Manta Ray Pictures on both. And those are the best places. On YouTube, just click Terry Wickham. You go to YouTube, you can watch the Gruesome Threesome trailer. And obviously, you should go to Vimeo. By the way, anyone orders the movie before October 2nd, they will get two versions of the poster that are different than what's used. Special bonus if you pre-release the film. And you'll get those digitally. And then when the film comes out, you'll get the movie. And I kind of want to make it exciting for anybody that wants to buy the movie. They also get two documentaries free.
So you get a 79-minute documentary on how he made stock. So you go in the dressing room with Serena Lee, you know, the big bus legend that's in that episode. You'll see us making the film, interviews afterwards. And we made those then. So that stuff's from 1997. And then for Hair of the Dog, we've got a 24-minute making of, which I think compared with any making of ever made in terms of the quality, it's really slick. We go into how we made that film as well. You get both those for free when you buy the movie. And you can also download the movie too. Download the movie for $13, and then you can rent it for $7. And if you rent it, you get it for 48 hours. You can watch the movie one night and then the two other ones. And if you want to own it, it's just $13, which is probably the cost if you went out to see a movie in the theater. And then you'll own the film and the two documentaries right before Halloween. So how cool is that?
And there you have it, everybody. That is director Terry Reid Wickham.